Oh, I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has.
Want to look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you be with us this morning, be in the service. Lord, we thank you for the words that we've heard this morning. Just to see, Lord, how blessed that we are as a group of people, Father. And Lord, we don't realize sometimes when we come into a church and we sit, Lord, with air conditioning and a nice roof over our heads and a PA system and projector and all the benefits that we have, Lord, to be able to worship you like this. It becomes common to us so many times. And to be able to listen to the words of the prophet in our own language and read them in our own language, how blessed that we are. And yet how negligent we are sometimes to do it like we should, Father. But Lord, help us to recognize this morning what a blessed people that we are. Help us to remember these in prayer, Lord, that are building churches and looking for churches. And Lord, in the conditions that they live in. And Lord, some of us, it would be hard for us to even imagine it, Father. But they love you and they're your children, Lord, just the same as us, even though they live in different climate, different conditions, and different type of economy and different type of politics and all that, Father. But yet you love them just as much as you love us. Your hand is on them just as much as it is on us. And help us, Father, to yield to you, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. Brother Branham says this in the True Easter Seal, 1961. He says, and I've always said and made this kind of a saying to mothers, we know written of four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there's a fifth gospel unwritten, that's mother. She gets them before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's teaching gets them. So the responsibilities is placed upon you mothers and you fathers to raise these children for the kingdom of God. It's our responsibility this morning. And we want to look at a few different things as far as responsibilities. He says again in Mother's Day 1959, he says, "Now I think that there is not enough honor that we could give to a mother. Mother is first with the child, and she's a great responsibility of what that child will be based upon the way that mother starts that child on the path that it must travel. Mother has the responsibility from God to place that child on the right road, and I think that's why mothers have a special little touch." He says in Calling Jesus on the Scene 1964, he says, "And you know, that's a good thing for any mother to do to her child. Bring up a child in the way it should go. It'd be better than turning on the television and watch some of these things here that goes on the television. You'd be better off if you read him a Bible story, because it's impressing his little mind." And we find, you know, Brother Trevor and I went a few years ago, I guess, to a minister's meeting in South Carolina. And there were some brothers there, and the main speaker that was there was sharing some things that had happened in their church recently, and how the enemy had got in amongst the young people and things. And really, he wasn't so much blaming the young people as he was the parents, because of their lack of connectivity with the children. And many of the things that the children began to get involved in, the parents didn't even know anything about it, because they weren't involved with their children. And many times we, you know, if you're not careful, you allow the TV or the computer or the games or whatever it would be to become the child's babysitter instead of you. But it's our responsibility to bring up the child. It's our responsibility to be involved with the child, to know what kind of friends they're hanging around, what they're involved in, what their activities are, what type of movies they're watching, what type of games they're playing, and things like that. Many times the parents get so busy that they're not involved with the child at all. When the child gets into trouble, they don't have any idea, well, what happened? What took place? Why was it? Because of lack of involvement in the parents with the children. Many times in the church, the reasons things go on is the way that it does is because many times the pastors are disconnected with the people. They don't know where the people are at or what they're doing or what they're going through. So many times, you know, we look at people and we blame people. Well, this child did that and this one did that and this person over here did this and that. But many times if we as parents or we as the leadership of the church would be a little bit more involved in things, many times things could be prevented, because we could find out a little bit ahead of time and cut things off at the pass. Blind Bartimaeus 1957, he says, "But we turn our children to a Sunday school teacher 20 minutes on Sunday morning and let them lick the streets with the world the rest of the week. But what we need is to bring up the child in the way that it should go, and when it gets old, it'll not depart from it." Now, I appreciate our Sunday school teachers. My wife's a Sunday school teacher, Sister Stephanie and Brother Stephen. They do a wonderful job. I appreciate them. But it's not our Sunday school teacher's job to educate your children about the message in the Bible 20 minutes a week, and then you're done. You don't have to do anything else. But Brother Branham said we need to return the family altar back to the home. And many times we get busy and life begins to get hectic and jobs get busy and appointments get busy and fellowship with other believers gets busy, and all that's wonderful and all that's necessary, but we need to prioritize the family altar in the home so that our children have the right type of atmosphere placed before them and have the right things placed before them. Because Brother Bram said, what is it doing these things? They're impressing their little minds, and we can choose how we're going to impress their mind. What are we going to place before for that child? What are we going to allow them to have? Brother Bram said it's our responsibility. Escape Hither, Come Quickly, 1958. He says this. He said, "I come to church the other night. It was altogether too snowy." I'm sorry, I'm behind here. I'm getting like Brother Trevor, behind on the slides. "I come to the church the other night and it was altogether too snowy and bad to come here. But they had a basketball game and they had to turn hundreds away. What is it? Their God is basketball. And what is your God then? A big blowed up piece of air." A big blowed up piece of air. Now let me read a little bit further here. We want to balance this out. Many times preachers will read one quote and just leave you hanging and not read something else to balance it out. But he said, "I'm glad that our God is the Lord Jesus Christ in his person of his resurrection. A real living creator who made the heavens and earth. But they want to see that. the kind of spirit in them draws for that, the spirit in a Christian draws him to Christ. Now, he says, "In the world is again falling apart," 1963. He says, "I ain't got nothing against basketball, baseball, football, or whatever it is, if that's all your God is a big bag of air. But let me tell you, what we need today is the Word of God anointed for this age that will bring forth the power of the Holy Ghost again." He said, "I don't have nothing wrong with those things, but it's what do we make our God? Where do we place our priorities?" You know, I heard a brother preach one time on flying with a one-winged bird. And many times that's what people do. We run off on one side of the quotes or one side of the scriptures, and we get so legalistic that nobody can twiddle their thumbs without being a sinner or without getting kicked out of the church. And then you're on the other side, if you're not careful, you're on the other extreme. And it doesn't matter what you do, and it's all just choices. And if you're not careful, you get over on that extreme and just allow sin to come in. But I thank God that when we really look at the message and we really look at the Bible and we begin to look at it in its entirety, that we can find a balance in these things. That there's some things that, you know, it's okay. It's okay for, you know, some people. I'm not a big sports guy. I'm not what Brother Branham would call a sports fiend by any means. I know some of you brothers lean more that way. Brother Branham said he didn't have nothing wrong with those things, but it's what do you make your God? It's when, you know, it's Wednesday night and you'd rather stay at home and watch the game or watch your favorite television show than be at church. Or it's when you sit there and watch a game for 5 hours and pray for 5 minutes. There's something wrong with your balance. A Man Running from the Presence of the Lord, 1965, he says, "But to face up to responsibilities sometimes, it takes the very hide off of us to do that as a father, to face up the responsibility to give your child a whipping. Them little fellows, you don't want to do that, but as a father or a mother, you've got to face the responsibility of raising that child because the Bible said, spare the rod and you'll spoil your son." And that still stands good in the sight of every psychologist there is in the world. That still remains God's truth. If there had been more of that practiced, we wouldn't have so much juvenile delinquency and stuff and the rot we got in the world today. But the old golden rule of the home has been broken long time ago, and they let the kids do whatever they want to. That seems like the theme of America today. Oh, just let them do what they want to. What has it produced? Juvenile delinquency. And then we wonder why people have no respect for authority, why they have no respect for headship in the home or especially in the church, or no respect for leadership, no respect for anything, any form of government or any type of policeman or military person or firefighter or whatever it be. They have no respect today. And why is it? It's because the parents weren't responsible enough to teach them at a young age what was right and wrong, whether it meant spanking them or putting them in timeout or whatever it was. Many times we just say, "Oh, that's okay, honey. You go ahead. You're so cute." Oh, my. And then when they become about 14 or 15 years old and you're ready to wring their neck, you get on them. But what about you? If you had got a hold of them a little bit earlier in their life when they were able to be reached, but now, you know, you let them go and you let them go, and then you want to pull in the reins and pull the reins tight, and they look at you and laugh like you're crazy. Oh, I hope I'm preaching to somebody this morning. They let the kids do whatever they want to do. He says again, "Man running from the presence of the Lord." Then you got the responsibility of educating your children. Now, I know many people around the message, they don't feel like that's a responsibility and they don't feel like that's very important. But Brother Branham said, you've got the responsibility of educating your children. You've got the responsibility of clothing and feeding. Everything is a responsibility. And it's so easy when the responsibilities face us to shirk from them, and we find out that marriage is a responsibility in all manners. So many today, many of the, you know, the young men my age and Brother Trevor's age and different ones, that, you know, they wanted, when they were 18 and 19 and 20 years old, they wanted to have them a girlfriend and they wanted to get married and they wanted to have children. But then they get to 30, 40 years old and suddenly they decide, "I don't want that responsibility anymore." Maybe you should have thought about that 10 or 15 years ago when you thought you were a big shot. They don't want the responsibility anymore. Or they want to take a vacation from their marriage. They want to take a vacation from their children. They want to take a vacation from their responsibilities. Maybe you should have thought about that before you got the responsibilities. Oh, when you were playing around out here in the world and you thought you were big and you thought you were all this, but now, oh, the pressures and the responsibilities, and it wasn't exactly what she wanted. It's our responsibility as husbands and as fathers to raise our children and to support our children and to stand there with our wives and to support them and to love them in a godly way. Around the message, most times we put the women way down here somewhere and the brother way up here with his foot on her. Bless God, you better do this and you better do that. You better go back and read the message again. Brother Branham didn't treat his wife like that. I've said many times, if the women around the message would respect their husbands the way that Sister Mita respected Brother Branham, and if the husbands around the message would love their wives with as much love as Brother Branham loved his wife, we wouldn't have near as many divorces. We wouldn't have near as many arguments. We wouldn't have near as many little children sitting there in split homes and sitting there without somebody to provide for them. What was it? Because some guy got a macho, egotistical idea of what the message was and tried to put his foot down. Well, it's a little quiet this morning, but that's all right. Brother Branham said he got home. He said there had been people, insane people, in and out of the house all day. Said there was Sister Branham crying there washing the dishes. He said, I went over and I reached and got the apron. He said, I put that apron on. I began to wash those dishes. He said, what was I doing? Creating an atmosphere. Creating an atmosphere. He said, you know, the kids hadn't ate and wasn't bathed and all that. And little Brother Joseph and Sister Sarah was fighting over blocks and all this stuff. Home sweet home. Many times you brothers walk into scenes like that. And you've been at work all day and you're tired. You don't feel like dealing with the kids, but she's been working a whole lot harder than you have raising those kids. And if you don't think so, you babysit them for about 3 hours and see what she has to put up with. You'll be ready to go back to work. Say, Lord, thank God I am free, free, free. Because he didn't call me to be a housewife. He didn't call brothers to be housewives. Oh, I know there's a lot of Mr. Moms around the message, but that's a perverted way. That wasn't God's plan. Brother Branham said, oh, he said, if you're sick and you can't work and your wife has to get a job for a while, he said, that's all right. But I didn't marry my wife for her money. She sure didn't marry me for mine. My, it's quiet in here tonight. You all do believe the message, don't you? And then we wonder why there's so much perversion and things around the message and why there's so much perversion around the world, because we have a backwards idea and we've placed the woman in the man's position. That was never God's motive. That was never God's plan. God never intended it to be that way. He says in Questions and Answers 1961, he said, there's ministers here, young men, middle-aged men, they got churches, they're responsible before God. There's deacons here that's responsible in their offices in these different churches. There's trustees, their responsibilities, pastors, evangelists, whatever, Lord, we're responsible to you. We have a responsibility this morning to lift up the Word of God, not just in book form. I appreciate that we have it in book form. I appreciate that we have it in tape form. Where would we be without it? But if it's just a book on your shelf or a tape in your cassette player, hey, there's many people that are making fun of it and have web pages against it that had the books on the tape line in their walls. But what they failed to do was allow that to come off of those tapes and off of those books and live inside of them. And if it's just a quote to you, and if it's just something that you can beat somebody down and argue with somebody about over, you missed the point. God sent a prophet in this age to restore us back to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the people were raising from the dead. They were healing the sick. They were casting out devils. It was more than just words to them. It was more than just a legalistic set of rules to live by. But it was alive. It better be a life to you this morning, or some demon-possessed guy with a website out here will pull you away from it if it's just a bunch of rules to you. It's a life. Job said, it's more than my necessary food to me. What a great word that we have in this age. God sent a prophet. Brother Trevor talked about how tired he was after 2 weeks in Africa. Brother Bram spent 6 months in South Africa. He wasn't a man like Brother Trevor and I that, you know, we preach under the anointing a little bit and get tired. He was a man that saw vision after vision after vision, that he said one of those visions would do more than an hour in the pulpit preaching. And he'd see 30 and 40 a night. I'm sure he was tired. I'm sure there was times, Brother Billy Paul said that, you know, he'd drive him around and he'd be crying, saying, take me home, Billy. He couldn't take him home. They was over in Africa. But he was so out of it from the anointing. Brother Bram said, when you're up here anointed, and he said, that's all right. And he said, when you're down here, that's all right. But he said, it's when you're in between, when you're coming out of that anointing and you feel like you could, you know, speak storms out of existence and speak squirrels into existence one moment, and then you're coming back down to just Brother Billy again, Brother Branham. He said that when you're in that between, he said, that's when poets and things lose their minds and commit suicide and things like that. I'm sure he was tired. But it wasn't just words to him. It was something he was living before us. It was something that he had a burden on his heart for people. You see people today around the message, many of them are so selfish and so self-centered that, oh, they want everybody to do something for them. But when it comes their time to do something for somebody else, well, you know. Brother Bram said, a Christian is a servant's life to be Christ-like. Jesus came, the creator of the heavens and earth, and he said, let me wash your dirty feet for you. He said, as I've done it to you, so do it to one another. Go wash one another's feet. He showed us a life of humility, the greatest that had ever lived. And yet he humbled himself to wash his own disciples' dirty feet. Oh, what an inspiration it should be to us to do something for somebody else. What an inspiration it should be when we look at men like Brother Branham and how he ran his home and how he lived. He didn't rule his home with a rod of iron, beat his wife around and tell her to sit down and shut up and all this stuff. But he projected love to her in such a way that she could respect him as a man of God and live the way that she should as a Christian wife, because she saw reflected in him a God that loved her, a God that wanted to do something for her. She could see this reflected in her husband. I wonder if our wives can see that reflected in us. I wonder if the husbands can see that reflected in the wives, that there's so much love and so much devotion and so much sincerity that we can see God reflected through one another. Oh, I hope we can this morning. Amen. You say, well, I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband. Well, let somebody else see God reflected through you. You might be the only God that some people ever see. Brother Bram said, you might be the only Bible that some people ever read, is to see you walk into Walmart or walk into Kroger down here and somebody see something godly about you reflected. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. And oh my, we want to tell our children what they can do and what they can't do. And then many times we run around and do the same thing that we're telling them not to do. Children aren't stupid. Children aren't stupid. I know some families, some boys that left the message and got very discouraged because they said, oh, our parents would tell us not to watch R-rated movies, but then they'd go around after we went to bed and watch them. What was it? They didn't see something that was, they saw something that was being professed, but they didn't see something that was possessed. Brother Billy Paul said it this way. He said, oh, I don't want to be a professor. I want to be a possessor. I want to possess what I'm talking about. I don't want to just get up and say, Brother Hoover, did you know what the Bible said? Did you know what Brother Branham said? That's wonderful. But if my life doesn't back up what I'm trying to show you, what good is it? What good is it if I teach my children and then turn around and don't live it myself? It's a hypocritical life. You say, are you calling me a hypocrite, Brother Nathan? Only if the shoe fits. Only if the shoe fits. It's time for us to wake up. It's not playing around time. It's going home time. Many people sit around the message. They've heard it for years. They've quoted it for years. They've had it playing in their cars, in their homes, in their churches. Many of them can quote it better than I can. But can we live it? That's the main thing. Can we produce something that's going to change lives? Can we produce something that's going to, when our children become teenagers, that they can look and see something reflected in our lives that, look, hey, I know my mommy and daddy ain't perfect, but I know they love God, and I know they love me, and I know they might make mistakes, and I know that, you know, that they're human just like me, but there's something about it. There's an anchor down on the inside of them that they're able to come around even when they're wrong and make it right. Oh, I hope my children can see that type of life reflected in me. I don't claim to be a perfect Christian. He's still working on me, but I do want to do the best that I can for him. Brother Branham says this in discernment of spirit. We're talking about responsibilities, and I'll try to close. I know we've been here a while this morning, but he says every man ought to have a home church, a church home rather. Every man ought to have a church home. You ought to have a place, not to just float about from pillar to post, but have somewhere that you go to church and you call it your church. Somewhere you pay your tithe and somewhere that you help support the cause. Take your choice, but then don't never disfellowship the other man because he don't belong with your group. Oh my, I wish I could read this quote to every message person. They don't have to come, you know, everybody doesn't have to come and make the Church of the Open Door their home church. Everybody doesn't have to pay their tithes to the Church of the Open Door fellowship here, but I do hope that you find your home church somewhere that you can support with your tithes and your offerings and your prayers and your attendance. He said to get you a home church somewhere. Many times, especially in areas like ours where there's five or six churches, people just float around and, well, we're here this month and there that month. And what it really is, that way they don't really have to have any place they call a home church and know where they pay tithes to, know where they're responsible to, know where there's any accountability that, well, we haven't seen you in a while. We've been praying for you. They like to be floaters. Brother Branham called it message hitchhikers, or he called it Bible hitchhikers, rather. They get on and hitchhike for a while when they like what's going on. Then if they don't like that, they'll get off and go somewhere else. And they'll try that for a while. If they don't like that, they'll get off and go somewhere else. As I said, you don't have to make our church your home church. But I wish people would find a home church that they can get behind and support with everything they have. God doesn't expect you to give 100%, but he does expect you to give 10%. You don't have to give it to me, but I hope you give it to somebody. And then he said, when you do that, take your choice, but then don't never disfellowship the other man because he don't belong with your group. We forgot this quote somewhere in the message, I think. Because the message is so divided that, oh, you belong to so-and-so's church, and you go over here to this church, and oh, you're from out of town, you go to Brother So-and-so's church. Oh, yeah, we've heard about him. And we divide and we separate, and then we divide and separate some more, and then we split the church and divide and separate this one and that one, and it just becomes more division and more division and more organization and more organization to where this group's organized over here and that group's organized over there. Brother Bram said it would never become a denomination, but we sure have a lot of organization around the message. I don't want to be organized. I want to be quickened. Quickened to the word. There's not one brother that's a pastor in this area that I know of that I'm against. I'm not against any of them. And yet there's not one of them that I agree with probably 100% because I'm a man. Brother Bram said, you get any two men together and you're going to disagree. So that's why even Elisha couldn't step into his ministry while Elijah was still on the earth. There couldn't be two major prophets at the same time. And so anywhere there's two men, there's going to be disagreements. But they're trying to get souls saved and I'm trying to get souls saved. And once we get them saved, we're trying to keep them going on the right path and trying to encourage them and do everything we can. And they're reaching people that I can't reach. And by the grace of God, I feel like I'm reaching people that maybe they couldn't reach. So make your choice, he said. But then don't never disfellowship the other man because he don't belong with your group. We've got people from all kinds of different backgrounds this morning. People came from all kinds of different churches, different denominations, even different message churches and things that have made their fellowship here. All kinds of different upbringings, all kinds of different raisings, all types of different doctrines and things. And somebody asked me the other day, said, Brother Nathan, how do you do it? All those different opinions and different people and different ideas. I said, I just preach the word. I preach the word. I don't try to get so complicated and so deep that it goes over the top of people's head. I just put the word before them, and if they want the word, then it's there, and if they don't want the word, then they know where the door's at. Because I'm not going to stop preaching the word. I'm going to stand for the word. I don't care how many people make fun of it and run it down and turn away from it. We're going to stand for the word here, and if people want to come and fellowship and be a part, praise the Lord. And if they don't, we're not forcing anybody. We didn't make anybody sign an agreement. Hear ye him, 1957. And pastor, oh, now he's talking to me. Pastor, he's going to hold you responsible for the way you let your people do and act in your church. Certainly it is. You're going to be responsible for it. So we see that I have a responsibility too. And sometimes I get up and preach things and people think, my, he seemed like he was mad this morning. You're right. I'm so mad at the devil. I'm so mad at the devil when I see him doing things and pulling the wool over people's eyes and blinding them to the situations they're getting themselves in. And you get up and you preach it as hard as you can. You play tapes that the Lord leads you to. You have guest ministers in that the Lord leads you to. And it just seems like it goes right over the people's head and they keep going and doing the things they're doing anyhow. It makes me mad at the devil, but I'm not mad at any of you or any of my brothers or sisters out here. But yes, we're mad at the devil. If you ain't mad at the devil, there's something wrong with you. It's enough to make you mad when you look around and see what he's doing. And we're responsible to take a stand for the word. Sometimes it seems hard. Sometimes it seems cutting, but we're going to take a stand against the devil. And Brother Branham said it this way. Let me just bring it down a little closer to home. He said, anything that's against this word is your enemy. So you say, you have any enemies this morning, Brother Nathan? Oh, I have lots, but not because I chose, but because they chose. Because they chose to be against the word. If it's against the word, it's my enemy. Not that person, not their flesh, but that spirit that's on them. You must be born again, 1961. Therefore, it's the duty of we as pastors to see that this flock is fed and fed right, because God Almighty will require your blood at our hands. At the day of the judgment, we'll answer for you. So seeing this great, tremendous responsibility that's placed upon us, and God has given us people who love us and come to hear us, then we should spend our time constantly watching for your souls. And when the first little thing we see raising up that's not right, it's our duty to come to that person, because we're shepherds watching that sheep. And if we see that sheep eating on a weed that'll kill it, I better drive it away from that weed, jerk the weed right away from it, so it cannot get to it, because it'll kill the sheep. I'm not mad at you this morning. But if I see the children of God begin to get away from God, and I see Satan begin to creep in, you better believe I'm going to run along the banks, like Brother Branham said, condemning that little boat that's not going to make it across the falls. I'm going to condemn that thing and preach against it and show you quotes and scriptures and do everything I can to keep you from making a mistake that might ruin your life or ruin your children's life or ruin the lives of the people around you. You bet I'm going to stand for every word that I can, every way that I know how. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to play it. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to do everything I can, everything I know how, to get you to come back. Remember, Brother Branham said he saw the vision of the bride there, and he said they were going up, and he said there was a few of them that started to get out of line. He said, I began to cry, get back in line. That's what we do as preachers. I'm not here to bring you a new message. I'm here to point you back to the message and say, get in line. Get in line this morning. We have a responsibility as believers of this message to live what we're professing. We have a responsibility as parents to keep the right things before our children. We have a responsibility as minister brothers to keep the word before the people and to stand for what's right. Many times it's easy to shirk our responsibility and say, well, I'll just let somebody else do it. But God called you to do it. God doesn't call a man to judgment without first warning. 1963, he said, every man that come on the face of the earth has to answer to God for a responsibility. And to many of us, a stewardship we have to answer for. This responsibility is a stewardship that's been committed to us by God. I don't care what it is. As I said a few minutes ago, a housewife, then be a genuine housewife. That's right. If it's to be a farmer, be a genuine farmer. Whatever it is that God has put to you to do, you got a stewardship to that. You've got to answer to God for, because it takes all these things to do it. The pastor can't do it all. The deacons can't do it all. We heard some testimonies Wednesday night of people that was talking about how welcome they feel at the church and how blessed they feel at the church and how they feel such a, you know, just a love and unity and things like that. It takes more than the pastor and the deacons to produce that. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility when we have visitors to say, God bless you. So good to have you with us. God bless you. Good to have you fellowshipping with us this morning. Don't leave it on the deacons. You go to the person and make them feel welcome. Greet them. Show them some love. Show them that you really care about them. Many times people walk around, you know, with their arms crossed. Well, brother so-and-so came to church. I hope he don't come back. Really? That's the Spirit of Christ flowing right through you. Can you believe brother so-and-so would come to church? What's Brother Nathan letting brother so-and-so come to church for? I'm not trying to stop anybody from coming to church. I'm not trying to run anybody away. Now, if they want to come in and cause trouble and, you know, stand up and cause a ruckus or start coming in trying to mess with the women and children and things, you better believe we'll run them right out of town on the board. But if somebody's wanting to come in fellowship, you say, oh, but I knew what they were back here, and I knew what trouble they caused over here, and I knew what they did back over there. Oh, you want to start bringing up people's past? Well, I'm sure you've got a little bit of past that we could bring up as well. Many times it's easy for us to look at somebody else's past, but we don't want nobody else to bring up our past. No, I'm here to try to make people get into an atmosphere to where God can do something for them. And if they want to come and sit in that atmosphere and be blessed by it and God be able to do something for it, I don't care what their past was or who they were or what they said or where they came from. I want to provide a place where God can do something for them. You say, oh, you mean you want sinners to come to the church? I can't think of any place I'd rather see them be than where God can do something for them. Yes, we want to see sinners come to the church. How else are they going to be changed from sinners if we don't get them into an atmosphere where God can do something for them? Now, I don't want them to come in and you know, sin in the church and spread their sin around and all that. No, absolutely not. But if they'll come in and sit and be respectful, then yes, you send anybody you want our way, we'd be glad to have them. When God can get a hold of them. Somebody said to somebody at the church the other day, said, you just take anybody over there, don't you? I said, yeah, that's right. So did Jesus, so did Brother Branham. Amen. We'll take anybody. I'm not here to run people away from the message. I'm here to get them to the message. He said, as I said a few minutes ago, a housewife. Then be a genuine housewife. Be a genuine husband. Be a genuine deacon or minister or Sunday school teacher or whatever it is. Whatever your position is. Maybe, he said, maybe just a farmer. He said, but it takes all these things to do it. It takes different ones. It takes the body working as a whole. It's not, this message was brought as a one-man message. But he didn't just bring it for one man. He brought it so that he could call out a bride. One man brought the message. But remember in the church age book, he said, then from those messengers goes the ministries of others who under that messenger. That's where many of them forget it, under that messenger. They want to be above the messenger or equal with the messenger, all that. No, I don't claim that. But I do believe that from that messenger goes other God-called ministries that's calling and pointing people to that word. And not just ministers as far as a minister to get in the pulpit, but Brother Branham said even to the housewife has a ministry. Many times we want to point, oh, well, I'm just going to let the minister do it. Well, you're a minister too, remember. You wives, you have a ministry as a housewife. You mothers have a ministry to your children. You brothers have a ministry on your job to be a witness to people. We have a responsibility this morning. Don't place it all on the preacher. Don't place it all on the pastor or the prophet. We all have our parts, but you have a part too. Revelation chapter 4, part 3, 1961, he said, and here's the tribulation saints. The sanctified ones that's had, he said, being it's mine and your fault, they had never heard the word. If they heard it and rejected it, they went on to hell. They was cast out into outer darkness because they rejected the word. But if they would never heard it, God is just. The tribulation period comes to him. Did I read that right? He said, these tribulation saints, he said, it's mine and your fault that they never heard the word. What a great responsibility that we have. What a great responsibility we have for the ones that we come in contact to. Like Brother Trevor was talking about, the man there that he met that was a soldier. What a responsibility that we have to share the message. What a responsibility we have to share the hope that's been placed in our hearts. Don't put it off on somebody else. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You have a responsibility this morning. Don't expect somebody else to raise your children or teach your children about Jesus. You have a responsibility. Don't expect somebody else to be the provider for your children or the protector of your children. Brother Bram said, those doctors and things in his day, they said, said you just let the children cry it out and things, you know, when they're in the bassinet there. He said, you just leave them and let them cry. He said, it sounded more like a witch doctor than a real doctor. Many times people was taught that, just let the baby cry it out. He said, you keep rejecting that child of love and they'll find somebody else that'll love it. You show that child love. I've heard preachers and message people say, you know, if your child gets away from God and things, just cut them off and shove them away. They're just an old serpent seed. That the prophet never taught us that. I don't know what tapes they've been listening to, but he said when Sister Rebecca got to playing rock and roll music there and slammed the door on her mother, he said, you be a buddy to her. Said she needs a buddy. He said she's in this teenage age. Thank God I don't have teenagers yet, but they're headed that way, Brother Hoover. He said they get to those teenage years, and he said their hormones and things are changing. They're all tore up, and they're troubled, and they're dealing with peer pressure, and they're dealing with all kinds of things and pressures in their life. He said, you be a buddy to them. Didn't say run them out of the country and forsake them. He said, you be a buddy to them. Because eventually, once they realize there's nothing for them out there, they need somewhere they can come back to where they know they're going to be loved. Where they know that they've got somebody that's praying for them and that cares about them and isn't there just to say, well, you know what the Bible said and you know what Brother Branham said and throw it in their face every time you see them, but somebody that loves them enough to hold the token over their life and pray for them and not just throw quotes in their face and say, you know, you shouldn't have did this and you know she shouldn't have did that. There's a time and a place for that. But sometimes kids aren't ready to hear that. Sometimes they just want somebody to show them a little love and be a buddy to them. She said, oh, that's my child too, Billy. He said, how can I do that? He said, you be a buddy to her. Oh, my. God, make us the right kind of parents. God, make us the right kind of men and women that'll live this message. I've heard so many people. I've seen people stand and quote it to me till they're blue in the face and walk away. And my, if they could have stabbed somebody in the back or did something, they would have done it. And I think, oh, my, yes, really, really just a light in Laodicea, aren't you? It's more than being able to memorize. It takes a life that's lived. That's what our children need to see produced in front of them. A life that's lived of service to God, of putting Him first in our decisions, of putting Him first in our lives. If they can see that, oh, they may wonder, they may go away. But remember, He said, train up a child and the way it goes. And it'll stay with them. They'll remember those things. When they get in situations, they'll remember they've got a godly mommy and daddy that's praying for them. Maybe when everybody else has given up on them. God, make us those type of men and women, I pray. Amen. It's our responsibility this morning. If the musicians would come, it's my responsibility to stand for the truth. It's not popular sometimes. It's made fun of. That's okay. They made fun of Jesus. They laughed Him to scorn when He went to Jairus' house, remember? I went to Delaware, preached to a church of 18 people. I told them, I'm not here for money or women or popularity. If I was, why would I go to a church of 18 people and preach? That's not what I'm here for. I'm standing for the truth, the very best that I know how. And as long as there's breath in my body and I have my right mind, I want to keep standing for the truth. And it may offend people. It may upset people. People say, it might say, oh, that's too hard, Brother Nathan. You shouldn't say those things. Oh, yes, I should, because it's my responsibility. I can't make you live it, but I can sure preach it and show it to you and keep putting it before you and putting it before you. And either God will convict you and to where you'll either come back or you'll get so sick of hearing it, you'll just go out completely. But we're not going to, you know, I hear of churches today that taking down the pictures and taking down not reading quotes anymore because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. If that offends somebody, they need to be offended. Amen. Amen. I don't have this picture up here because we worship a man. I have this picture up because we worship the God that's photographed in the picture above the man. Amen. And God loved him enough to come and have his picture taken with him. If I had one of Paul when the pillar of fire came to him on the road there, I'd have it up there right beside it. If I had one of Moses when it came to him in the burning bush, I'd have it right up there beside it. Not because I worship those men, but because God had enough respect for him to come and identify themselves with him. I want to have a picture of my God up here with his prophets. Amen. This is just a painting of our God. But remember, he came to Paul on the road to Damascus there, and he was in pillar of fire for him. He came to our prophet again the same way. I'm not ashamed of the message. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ or his servant William Branham. If you're getting that way, you better check out. You better check up and make sure there's something wrong. If you're starting to feel that way, that you get a little ashamed, somebody say, oh, what's that picture in your car? Oh, well, he's just a minister. Are you ashamed of it this morning? I hope not. I hope not. I'm not ashamed of it this morning. I'm not the man that Brother Branham was. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a messenger. But I love this message. I want to keep it always before the people. Joshua had gone on there, and Moses is already dead and gone, but he kept pointing the people back. Remember what Moses said. Remember what Moses said. I don't claim to be a Joshua. I'm a Caleb. I believe that. Brother Branham said Joshua was the Holy Ghost, but I'm following our Joshua, the Holy Ghost, for our day. Brother Branham may not still be here, but the Holy Ghost that sent him is still here. He still leads. He still guides. He still heals the sick and raises the dead. Amen. Amen. It's our responsibility to live what's been brought. Don't let Satan pull the wool over your eyes and try to try to get you to live some loose Laodicean life that's just a halfway Christian or a halfway message believer. There's so much more. There's so much of God to be had if we just open up our eyes and accept it and just keep yielding to Him. I like what the black sister said. I ain't what I ought to be. I ain't what I want to be, but thank God I ain't what I was. I don't claim to be perfect yet, but I'm sure not what I was. And I want to keep walking in His will and following His leading as He keeps perfecting the church. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's stand and sing together. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadows